Well, thank you, Beth, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to In Touch on WCCI. In Touch airs weekday mornings at 11:40 a.m., and with us today is Dr. Crystal Watson, a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. And we're going to talk about a new report today that talks about some inequities in our health system. I know it has to do with the National Association of Chain Drug Stores, and it's something that is alarming but also positive because we're looking to see changes out of this. Dr. Watson, thank you so much for stopping by the show. Tell us a little bit about this report and some of the findings.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Brian. So we really did this work because we know that from early on in the pandemic that Indigenous people and people of color have been really disproportionately affected by COVID, including higher likelihoods of infection, hospitalization, and death. And we know there's lots of underlying reasons for this, including greater exposure through workplaces, lack of access to medical care, and lack of trust in a system that hasn't worked well for people in the past, among other things. So I think having more fully recognized some of these inequities that are really apparent during COVID-19, public health and medicine, including pharmacies, have tried to narrow some of these gaps. We have a lot of work to do, but to make continued progress, I think it's important for us to kind of take stock of what's been done, what successes we've had, and what still needs to be done in the future. So this report looks at how community pharmacies have contributed to reducing some of these inequities and providing accessible, equitable care for vulnerable populations during the pandemic.
And is it safe to say that in many areas, these pharmacies are really kind of one of the main options for them for healthcare, and they really rely on them?
Yeah, I think pharmacies are actually really well placed to provide some of this care because about 90% of the U.S. population lives within about 5 miles of a pharmacy. And you don't need a primary care physician to actually go to a pharmacy to do something like get a test or a vaccine. So I think they provide important care and important access to healthcare that people may not have already.
And as far as, you know, once you identified some of the inequalities, what are some steps that you're looking at that will help to, you know, push things forward and remedy some of these inequalities?
Right. So pharmacies have worked with different partners in public health and community organizations to really deploy different innovative strategies to increase access to things like testing and vaccination for COVID. So they've created more drive-through pharmacy access, other testing and vaccination sites that wouldn't have existed otherwise. They've expanded hours and staff to try and provide more access to this type of care. And they've really focused on patient communication strategies to try and reach people who may not know that they can come to a pharmacy to get this type of care for COVID.
And I know that those who put together the report, they've come up with some recommendations, and this is not just, I'm guessing, a short-term deal. It's long-term to try to continue to mold things into the right direction.
Right. So I think progress has been made, but the work is certainly not done. We still have a lot of inequity. So in order to continue to build on this work, we need some actions. We need some to put in place some permanent things that have been temporarily enacted because of the emergency here, and to really build on this. So, for example, we need the federal government to make some of these changes permanent, like payment for pharmacies to be able to deliver this type of care, or expanded scope of practice, so the type of care that pharmacists can offer has been expanded during COVID. Like, they can provide vaccinations for a wider range of age groups, and testing is another area where we need to make that permanent for pharmacies so they can offer that not just for COVID but for other diseases as well.
What can our listeners do? Can they educate themselves by going to some, you know, websites that will give them great information? Is there anything they can do as far as, you know, following along with their legislature and, you know, contacting their lawmakers?
Yeah, I think the first step is if you're interested to read the report on the NACDS website, nacds.org. And yeah, there is some legislation that's being enacted at the state level, so following that would be good. But just to emphasize that this action is not only going to help better prepare for the future of COVID, we're in the middle of another COVID surge right now, but it will also strengthen our healthcare system long into the future and for other emergencies that we might face. So I think this is all positive development. We just need to keep building on what's been done so far.
As our time is winding down, what kind of final thoughts would you like to add as we close here? Anything we may have missed or glossed over, or just anything you'd like to emphasize or reemphasize?
I think that we need to increase not only access to care, which is a lot of what pharmacies provide, but also trust in the system. And so hopefully people can have pharmacies as a really good resource to try and build that trust, be able to access care even when maybe they don't have health insurance or don't have a physician that they can turn to. So I think just looking to pharmacies and other healthcare providers, other community organizations that have really built more rapport and access in communities during COVID-19, I think that will start to help heal the system for the future.
Well, Doctor, we want to say thank you very much for stopping by the show today. The invitation is always out there to come back and keep us updated on this topic. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks for having me.